Welcome to Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. We are located at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. If you don't have a home, church, we would love for you to consider making your home with us. Our service times are as follows. Sunday school at 10 a.m. and Sunday morning worship at 11 a.m. Sunday night Bible study begins at 6 p.m. and Wednesday night prayer meeting starts at 6 p.m. Now it's time to enjoy a wonderful anointed message from Pastor Jimmy Haining.
If you got your Bibles this morning, go with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 143. And once you have found that, stand with me for the reading of the word this morning. Psalms chapter 143, starting at verse number 8. Psalmist said, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee to thee to hide me." And then here's the key verse. "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Amen. You may be seated. With the help of the Lord this morning, I want to preach on the thought, we cannot know God's will when ours is in the way. We cannot know God's will when ours is in the way. That last verse we read, "Teach me to do thy will." When we look at the word will in the original Hebrew, it is translated ratzon, ratzon. And here's what it means. It means the pleasure of Father God. It means the delight of Father God. It means the favor, the goodwill, and the acceptance of Father God. I want to read that one more time. When we look at the word will in the original Hebrew, translated rason, it means the pleasure, the delight, the favor, the goodwill, and the acceptance of Father God. So I want to be looking at five different areas concerning our will and God's will. And the first area I want to look at this morning is our will must come into perfect congruence with God's will. If it isn't, Brother Dennis, we can never know the will of God as long as our will is standing in the way. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, very familiar verses of scripture here. He says, "Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And then he goes on to say, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth," here it is again, "the will of my Father which is in heaven." I'm sure everyone's heard that old saying, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Lip service and works will never get a person into the kingdom of God. You've heard me say so often standing up here before that there are people in this world today who claim to be saved. They claim to be Christians. They claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. But notice what Jesus says here in verse 20 again. He says, "Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Don't shoot the messenger. Jesus said, Brother Eddie, "By their fruits ye shall know them." See, we've got this epidemic, if you will, in the world today that everybody seems to think that the sinner's prayer is some mumbo-jumbo, fix-all type of line that someone recants, or it's like an incantation, if you will, that just absolutely qualifies one for the kingdom of God. That's not what Jesus said here. He said it's everyone that does the will of the Father. And then he went on to say, "By their fruits you shall know them." That's important because so many people think, well, how, Brother Jimmy, can you tell the difference between somebody who's genuinely a disciple of Jesus Christ, they're truly born again, and someone who's not? It's simple, folks. Just look at their fruit. Look at what kind of fruit they're bearing. Jesus also said that a good tree cannot bring forth corrupt fruit, and neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruits. Again, according to verse 20 here, he says that, "Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them." Amen? So it's important that we get that down deep. He said there's going to be many on that day that's going to cry, "Lord, Lord," And he goes on in other passages to describe just exactly why they do that. In fact, the very next verse, verse 22 that follows, tells us why they do this. What in their mind, Brother Jason, they deem as qualifying principles, if you will, to make them a candidate for the kingdom of God. And here's what the verse says. Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. How many has ever seen that today? How many has ever seen or witnessed, whether it's on television or in regular life, somebody loosely use the name of Jesus to command a demonic spirit or something that's foul and say, I command you by the name of Jesus, and that person is not a believer? That's dangerous grounds, folks. But they think because they did all these things in his name, somehow that qualifies them for the kingdom of heaven. We got to be careful. Again, Jesus makes it clear in these verses of scripture, just in fact, what it does take. And it is only those who, as he said before, that does the will of the Father. In John chapter 15, verse 8, here's what he said. He said, herein is my Father glorified. If you want to know what is going to make God happy, and you want to know what's going to bring him glory, here it is. He gives the answer. That you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Brother Dennis, people don't like to hear that. You mean I got to bear fruit? That means I can't be lazy and just warm a pew? No. We pastored our first church, and we went through a whole program called Share Your Faith Without an Argument. Got all the way through that program by Bill Fay, very powerful man of God, won many, many, many souls to the kingdom. Got to the end of that. Sister Crystal vouched for me on this. And one of the board members, one of the lady board members of that church, spoke up. I thought she had a question about what we taught. I was like, yes, sis. And she goes, well, I just want to say, all that sounds all good what you just taught, but that's your job. Really? I said, with all due respect, sis, that's not what the Word of God says. When we become a believer, it's not just those who are called to preach who are saved. It's not just people who are called to teach or be a teacher who are saved. It's not just missionaries who are saved. It's anybody who gets saved. We all have one main obligation. In fact, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30 sums it up quite well. It says, the fruit of the righteous, that's us, eventually down the road in the future, is a tree of life. But he that winneth souls is wise. There it is. And so to be a follower of Jesus Christ, we got to use this right here. We got to tell somebody about Jesus. That means we got to bring forth fruit. And in that, God is glorified, Sister Robin. In that, that is the tale of the tape. How do we know that's the tale of the tape? Because Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me before men, what'd he say? I will be ashamed of you before my heavenly Father and his holy angels. What an embarrassment it's going to be for some people. There's going to be many people on that day, Sister Rachel, that are going to stand before God. And they are going to have to witness Jesus Christ being ashamed of them in the presence of God the Father. Now, I don't know how many in here have ever really thought about that before, but let's put it a different way. Let's say you had a mom and a dad, and I know some of us, our parents have gone on, but let's say they're still here with us, and you are somewhere in public getting ready to get up and give a speech or do something special, and your mom and dad was there with you, and you went to introduce them as your mom and dad to the crowd of people that was there to see you do what you're going to do. And all of a sudden, your mom and dad just turned their back and their head on you as if they don't know who you are. Can you imagine how that would make you feel? Now, think about the creator of the universe, the God who made all things. One day, Sister Wanda, he's going to do that to many people. Jesus Christ, who made all things. What do you mean, Brother Jimmy? I thought God made all things. Well, Jesus is God. St. John chapter 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, Jesus, and the Word was God, amen, and the Word was with God. So see, he was with God the Father, but he himself was God. And then the scripture goes on to say, Brother Ronnie, that all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Why? Because God gave him the license to create. I'm going way back to the dateless past that we have no Bible for. I'm using my imagination this morning, as SpongeBob would say. But I'm going way back, and I'm imagining God is creating all this stuff that we don't even know about. And here comes Jesus. Wow, Dad, that looks awesome. Yeah, son, would you like to do it? Well, here you go. You can create your own world. Anything you want. And so here goes Jesus, and he creates the earth, and he creates the stars, and he creates the moon, and he creates the sun. And all of a sudden, he gets the idea. Father, he says, let us make man in our image. That should do something to you right there. We're made in the image of God. Now think of how powerful that is. And now think about how it would feel if he turned his back on you and was ashamed of you. What a terrible feeling. So we can't know the will of God when our will is in the way. We've got to come into perfect congruence with God. The second thing is we must know the will of God concerning lost sheep. It's not God's will that any should perish, Brother Dennis, but that all might come to repentance. Brother Dennis and I were talking on the phone last night, and we touched on this a little bit about how there are people in this world that we would consider to be despots, and they irritate us because of some of the things they do. Case in point, Donald Trump and his family are one of the most hated families in the earth right now. And there are people doing such vile things to him and his family, it's unspeakable. But at the end of the day, Brother Eddie, these people that are doing these things, they have a soul. No matter how wicked they are, no matter how bad they are, they still deserve our prayers that God will get through to them and save their soul. Because you know what? This life is one thing, but eternity is another. You know, Brother Ronnie, I could get shot today. Someone could take my life today. So what? That's this lifetime. It's just a flash in the pan. What matters, Brother Eddie, is when I get shot, is my soul right with God? That's the main thing right there. And so God's concerned about his lost sheep. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, starting at verse 11, "For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost." Now, I want you to notice this parable he gives here. He says, "How think ye, if a man have 100 sheep," now keep that in mind, they're his sheep. He knows them. They're his sheep. If we put that in spiritual terms, that's speaking of Christ and the church, not sinners, sheep. "If he has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, doesn't he leave the 99 and go after the one in the mountains and seek that which has gone astray? And if so be that he finds it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more over that sheep than the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that just one of these little ones should perish." So a person who is truly in the will of God will also be pursuing lost sheep. But yet there are people today, Brother Mike, that will say, "Well, good riddance. They're out of my hair." That's not the will of God. Somebody said, "Well, Brother Jimmy, it's hard. One of the hardest things to do is it's hard to witness to your family." So what? So what? Don't worry about it. If they get mad at you, oh well, you're concerned about their soul. Let them get mad at you. Let them know, look, I'm only telling you this because I love you. You can get mad at me if you want to, but I'm concerned about your soul. We've all faced those family members that are a challenge. And we've all, well, not all, but those of us who have been in ministry have had to face those people, what we refer to as the troubled ones that are in the church that like to stir things up. It's a challenge. But you know what? They're a lost sheep. And when they get away from God, somebody's got to go after them. And that's what a true shepherd will do. They will go after the lost sheep. So Jesus addressed them in an area that they could understand. He knew a lot of them were shepherds, and that's why he used this parable. In other words, in essence, what he was saying is any good shepherd worth his weight, Brother Mark, is going to go after that lost sheep because he's not willing to see it hurt, or he's definitely not willing to see it perish or die. So we got to make sure that our will is congruent with God's will as concerning lost sheep. The third one is the will of God for us is to answer the call of duty that is placed on our life. Not to hide behind religion, which is what the Pharisees did. And unfortunately today, which what a lot of people are doing. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 21, starting at verse 28, he gives another parable here. He says, "But what think you? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first one and he said, 'Son, go today and work in my vineyard.' And he said unto him, 'I will not. But afterward he repented. In other words, he felt sorry, Sister Maximilia, and he went anyway. Then Jesus said he came to the second son and said likewise. And his second son answered him and said, I go, sir. But he didn't go. So Jesus is asking these Pharisees, he says, which of the two of them actually did the will of the Father? And they said unto him, the first. Jesus, I could just see him pointing his finger at him, Brother Eddie. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots are going to go into the kingdom of God before you do. You ever wondered why it seems like that the people that do the most for God are the one-time prostitutes, drug addicts, drunkards, gang members, whatever you fill in the blank? The reason for that is, and Jesus said this himself, where much has been forgiven, okay? So you take someone who has been hiding behind religion all their life, like these Pharisees. People who have made the ministry out of a career and pursued filthy lucre. One of these days in the very near future, everyone that has pursued filthy lucre is going to have to give an account to God for that. Because there's a difference between a shepherd and a hireling. And the hireling doesn't care about the sheep. He doesn't care if they get hurt, and he doesn't care if they die. All he cares about is his pay. And we see that today, sadly, in many of the churches. People are only interested in their back pocket. Years ago, I preached a message. I don't even remember the title of it, but I gave a lot of statistics in this message, and it had to do with former pastors. And one of the statistics, Brother Dennis, had to do with the percentage of pastors that either continued to pastor or stopped pastoring as concerning money. And the number was over 60% of the pastors who went into the ministry by Bible college or whatever, when they saw that they could not secure a church big enough to what their expectations was and a paycheck, Brother Eddie, big enough to suit them, they said, forget it, I'm going to go do something else. That's what we call mommy called and daddy sent. That is not someone whose footsteps has been ordered by the Lord. That is not someone that God has called into the ministry. That's someone who calls themselves, and for one reason and one reason alone, they see the gospel of Jesus Christ as a moneymaker. This is nothing new. Jesus encountered it in the temple. Do you remember? You remember what he did? He had himself a carnality fit, if you want to put it that way. He started flipping tables. He got a whip out and drove them out with a whip. My father's house shall be called the house of prayer, but you've turned it into a den of thieves. And people are doing that today. One of the things that makes me so sick, and I think about these poor little widow women that can't even pay their bills, or the fatherless that don't even have a daddy, or their children don't have parents. All they're concerned about, Sister Crystal, is where am I going to get my next meal? And then you see these big wigs on the television, and they're promoting their newest book they just wrote. And it's only $29.99. That's a good deal. It's only $29.99. All the services here we record, we give them away. The church buys the CDs. I know how much CDs cost. They're not that much. Exactly. He's right. And yet you see these big wigs on these televangelists, whatever you call them, and they have these series of DVDs and what have you and CDs, and they sell them for like 40 and 50 bucks a pop. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? You're selling the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's not what you're supposed to do. Yeah. See, Jesus already encountered that. And he set the precedent. He gave the example. He set the principle of how to deal with it. And that stuff's got to be rebuked. Because they're making the things of God into a merchandise. Hey, there's enough things in the world for you to merchandise. Leave God alone. Leave his word alone. Leave it out of it. Because one day, Brother Ronnie, like I said before, every one of them is going to stand before Almighty God and give an account for these type of things. One day, it's all going to be judged by God. So the will of God for our life is for us to answer the call of duty, not hide behind religion. But the other one, the next one on the list, is God's will for our life is for our good, but to his glory. He won't share his glory with us or anybody else. God's will, remember what he said? I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts to prosper you and give you your expected end. But the glory I'm going to receive for myself, God says. And yet there are people today who are heaping the glory to themselves. My wife and I were talking yesterday about this, and we've both just been wired this way all of our life, and we don't mean to offend people, so that's why I keep saying this, and I'll say it again this morning. If you walk up to us and try to pay us a compliment, and it's not reciprocated, it's not because we're trying to be rude, but we believe in giving God all the credit and all the glory. Amen. Jimmy couldn't play the piano if it wasn't for Jesus. I have had people, my wife will vouch for this, I have had people walk up to me when we used to evangelize, Sister Wanda, and they would say, would you get the oil and take my hands and pray over my hands so I can play like you play? I said, I'll pray for you, but I'm not the giver of the gift. You see, God gives gifts according to how he knows the person's going to use it. I made a vow to God when I was about 8 years old, and I said, Lord, if you'll let me play like Brother Jimmy Swaggart, I'll make you the same vow that he made to you. I'll never use my talent for the devil. All the days of my life, whew, I feel God just taught me, all the days of my life, I will use it to glorify your name. I said, Lord, I may not be the best singer, I may not be the best musician, but what I've got is yours, and it's not the devil's. So although I know your heart is in the right place, when you come paying your compliments, it's appreciated. But with all due respect, it's not accepted. We have to give all the glory to God. We want to give all the glory to God because it all belongs to him. But there are people who try to rob God of his glory. In St. John chapter 5, verse 30, Jesus himself, the Son of God, said this, I can of my own self do nothing. It sounds like something I'd say. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my will, but the will of my Father, which has sent me. I'll say the same thing. It's not me playing the piano. It's my Father in heaven that sent the talent and put it within me to play the piano. Therefore, it's God playing the piano, not me. I'm telling you, folks, I don't mean to ride this as a broken, dead horse, but I can't tell you how many different people have made comments to me about that, and I can't seem to get it across to them. It's not me. I would be just like you if God didn't give me the talent. I wouldn't be able to comprehend it either. I've had people ask me, how do you do those hot licks? I say, I don't know. And they think I'm, you know, not quite being completely honest with them, but I am. God knows my heart. I don't know. I've had people say, could you teach me? I said, no, I can't. I can show you what I do, but I can't teach you how to do it. So Jesus himself, he said, it's not me. It's the Father who sent me. And because I'm seeking his will, I'm justified. That's the only reason. So the only way our judgment can be just like Jesus is to be in perfect congruence with the will of God the Father. In Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul said this, and he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of Holy Spirit, because Jesus maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. What we see here is a very beautiful picture of the Holy Trinity. We see Jesus searching the heart according to, number two, the mind of Holy Spirit, because the mind of the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God. And then we see Jesus making intercession on behalf of us to God the Father for his perfect will to be accomplished in our life. But see, again, if our will is in the way, the late, great James T. Arp set me and my wife down when we just first got married. And he said, now, kids, he said, look, don't be foolish and run out and get in trouble with the house and just settle for the first thing. You got to be smart about this. Did we listen? No. You know why? Because we knew it all. Can I get an amen on that? Anybody got kids? I knew it all, man. I wasn't going to let her daddy tell me what to do. And guess what? We got in trouble, financial trouble. Can I tell you something? In case you're thinking about doing it, now's not the time to buy a house. Some of you might listen to me. Some of you won't. Some of you won't. He's old fuddy-duddy. But I'm here to tell you, now's not the time to buy a house. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. See, that's something else people don't like to do. You mean I got to wait? Bunch of microwave Christians. Pop it in the microwave. I get it done 2-3 minutes instead of putting it in the oven and waiting for a half an hour, 45 minutes. Yeah, but it tastes better in the oven. I like pizza in the oven better than a microwave. How can I get an amen on that one? How did I get off on that? Anyway, I didn't mean to preach on pizza in the microwave. It's over now, honey. Finally. Finally, we come to the last one. Help me, Lord. It is God's will for us to be conformed to His will and not this present world. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed." Here's the hard part. "By the renewing of your mind." That means you don't know it all. "That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God," not self-will. Ephesians 5:14 says this, "Wherefore he saith, awaken thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are what? Evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what is the will of the Lord. And be not drunken with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in the psalms," which means the word of God, "and with the hymns and with the spiritual songs." See, that covers all kinds of genres of music there, Brother Robert. It's not just the red books. People say, "Well, I bless God. All I want to hear is the redback books." Well, I like the redback books. I think that's some of the best songs I've ever written. But every once in a while, I like to hear a good Ron Canole song or some of these songs Robert's been saying. You know, because God gives us a variety of different types of spiritual songs to listen to. "Singing with grace and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." See, that's the tail of the tape right there, to be in the will of God. 1 Thessalonians 4, Paul continues, he says, "For ye know what commandments we gave you by our Lord Jesus Christ." He says, "For this is the will of God." You want to know what the will of God is? Here it is. "This is the will of God. Even your sanctification," here it is, "that you should abstain from fornication." Again, you guys have heard me get on this soapbox before, but I'm going to say it again and get right off the subject. But one thing I can't stand is for these people, these kids going out and getting married or getting pregnant out of wedlock and then celebrating having a baby shower, and everybody's thinking, "Oh, that's the greatest thing I ever heard." No, it's not. That's a shameful, shameful thing. That's what the word just said here, that you abstain from fornication. "That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, and that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner." In other words, don't call somebody else to sin in that sin of fornication. "Because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified, for God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." In 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter chimes in on it, and he says, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. I'm talking about coming out of the world, being conformed to God, not this present world. And then he names some of these things. In the time past of your life, these are the things that you used to do through the will of the Gentiles. You walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit to the keeping of their souls in him and well-doing as a faithful creator, being conformed to the will of God. And finally, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 17, says, "And the world passes away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." We want to know the will of God. Our will's got to get out of the way. Amen. Father, we thank you today for your word, and we thank you for the songs of Zion.
We hope you've been blessed by today's message by Pastor Jimmy Haney and Fairborn Full Gospel Tabernacle. Pastor Jimmy and the congregation would like to invite you to visit with them in service at 2528 National Road in Fairborn, Ohio. We will see you again right here next week.
Saved by grace. His love changed me. That old man I used to be is gone. HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.